Good morning. This is Steph. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley, broadcast every Saturday morning here on KLBB 1220 AM. But first, joining us from the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota, it's Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, do you have a lawn, Stephanie?
I actually live in a condo unit, so I do not have a lawn, but once upon a time I did, and I was always very eager to know how to best take care of it.
Well, believe it or not, we here in Minnesota and Wisconsin too, we usually kill our lawns with kindness. We overwater them, we overfeed them, and as a result, we have more lawn disease now than we normally have. So I'm going to make your life easier, and I'm going to help save you a few bucks. The very best time you can fertilize your lawn, if you have to pick one time through the whole year, fall is the time to do it.
Okay.
In fact, we have a lot of companies that tell us, you know, you have to fertilize your lawn four times during the growing season. Lawns don't need that. In fact, when it's hot, as I told you before, they don't want to grow when it's hot. But the fall is great because that really helps them get strong roots to get winterized and to get ready for next spring. So here's what you need to do.
Okay.
Head out, get yourself some winterizing lawn fertilizer. Typically, the middle and the last number is going to be the biggest because we don't want that first number. That's nitrogen. We don't need that right now. We want to worry about root development and the structure of the grass. So when you go out and fertilize, fill up a drop spreader, but on the bag it will say set your drop spreader at 10, 15, whatever it is. Whatever
at 10
the
or 15,
is,
okay.
Yeah, but what, it changes. Every bag is different. Every drop spreader is different, which drives everybody crazy.
Oh, boy.
So find out what drop spreader you have. Then you're going to look at the calculation on the bag. So say it says you have the easy spreader, which means you need to put it on number 10. Don't do that. Instead, put it on 5. So you're going to cut that number in half. And then instead of going just back and forth on your lawn, like the directions tell you, do it like a checkerboard. So you're going to go back and forth, and then you're going to come perpendicular to those lines, creating a checkerboard effect of how you spread that fertilizer. And the reason you're doing this is it ensures equal application, but more importantly, it ensures that you won't have stripes because, whoops, you kind of missed the line that you were supposed to follow. So back and forth, like a checkerboard, cutting the application in half as you put it in the drop spreader. Make sure you water it in well, and you will be good to go next spring.
Excellent. Well, this sounds semi-complicated to me, so I am going to suggest that if people have further questions, they head on down to the farm store here in Stillwater, Minnesota, and find either you or one of your esteemed colleagues, and they can fill people in on further details on how to do this.
Absolutely. And if you don't have a drop spreader, we actually have a few that we let people borrow.
Oh, that is so kind, Rebecca. That is wonderful. So definitely head on down to the farm store. Rebecca, thank you so much. It's good to know that we don't need to kill our lawns with kindness, but we can take care of them just right. So thank you for providing that information. You are listening to Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Thanks, Rebecca. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley following local student news.
Thanks to Water Street Inn for sponsoring Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Sweet dreams are never more inviting than at Stillwater's only waterfront hotel. Victorian suites, special attention to details, modern amenities. Find out more at waterstreetinn.us.
Hello, this is Heather Rutledge, Executive Director of ArtReach St. Croix, reporting on art news for the Shire. As we head into October, those of us who love the St. Croix Valley will continue to experience our arts events in the great outdoors. All it takes is a quick closet switch from tank tops and flip-flops to sweaters and scarves. No problem. Need a cool way to explore the region? This is the final weekend of Take Me to the River with some perennial favorites, Hudson's Spirit of the St. Croix Art Fair and Afton's Art in the Park. Also new to Take Me to the River is the Western Wisconsin Pottery Tour. Want a chance to remind yourself of how to dress for the changing weather? Join a Journey of the Senses on Sunday. This creative walk is led by a park ranger and an artist. For $10, participants will meet at Osceola Landing, carpool to a trailhead, and head out for a full morning of creating trailside surprises for others to discover. Cool. On the evening of October 20th, dress warmly and bring your blanket to the Warden House Museum in Stillwater for an outdoor screening of the 1925 silent film classic Phantom of the Opera. This night of relatively quiet terror and almost certain chills will help thicken your blood before we head into Halloween and into November. As always, you can find out about these and other events on StCroixSplash.org, the St. Croix Valley's online event calendar, encouraging you to acclimate to the coming cold weather by continuing your arts participation in the great outdoors. This is Heather Rutledge, Executive Director at ArtReach St. Croix, reporting on art news for the Shire.
St. Croix Valley Art News, sponsored by Stillwater's Healing. Relax beside the still waters of the scenic St. Croix River in downtown Stillwater and escape the day-to-day stress of fast-paced living. Give yourself permission to take a break from juggling career, home, and family. Stillwater's Healing offers massage, reflexology, scalp treatment, and stone massage. Find out more at stillwatershealing.org.
Paperback writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and I'm here with my co-host, Dee.
That's me.
Hey, Dee.
Hi, hon.
Good to see you this morning.
Thanks, you too.
Well, instead of Jenna, we have Jesse joining us today.
Hey, Jesse. Hello.
Well, I guess I can't say good morning, ladies, anymore. Jesse, it's good to have you on Voices in the Valley. And in addition to your KLBB duties, I believe you DJ as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh, with a voice like that, I want to know where you're going to be jamming next.
Voice.
Well, you are actually joining us for the perfect show because we are going to be talking today about the Star Prairie Jam. Dear Jess, have you ever been able to get out to Star Prairie, Wisconsin for that?
I have not,
I haven't either, but it sounds like fun. Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It's so cool. It takes place on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this old store in Star Prairie, Wisconsin. And a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go and be wowed by it. So I took the liberty of recording a couple of songs that were being played that night. And as an introduction to our topics for today's show, Jess, I'm going to have you play a couple clips. Will you play the first one, please?
Certainly.
That's Rick Vogelpohl. He'll be joining Jerry on the show later today. Star Prairie Jerry is the one who got all this jamming started, so we're looking forward to hearing from both Rick and Jerry. And then in the second half of our show, you'll hear from this student musician. So you can expect that if you go to the Star Prairie Jam, you can hear and see all kinds of musicians. So it's well worth the trip out there. What do you think?
I think it sounds like so much fun. Yeah.
Dee and
absolutely.
Jess, you going to join us when you're not DJing and being cool?
Just might.
I would love it. I would love it. Well, first, speaking of auditory delights, next Saturday we'll be airing episode 2 of the podcast series Hush.
Ooh, yay.
I know. We're finally going to find out what happens next. Andy, in her search for her grandmother, finds herself in more than one troubling situation.
Andy.
I know. If you haven't already heard episode 1, catch up by either Googling hashtag Hush Podcast or going to theshireonline.com to listen to Don't Cry Over Cold Tea. In addition, Dina, the Shire has some other opportunities for students
always
in grades 6 through 12 to take advantage of. Go on a quest. What story do you want to tell? How will you share it? Is it going to be a screenplay? Are you going to write a novel? Submit to a competition? Those are all options that you can do. So email steph@theshireonline.com to find out more. And then don't forget about our workshop coming up on October 8th with Dr. Mark Zumbi on how to write the mentally ill character.
Sounds so interesting.
It is super interesting. You get to learn about the symptoms, traits, and characteristics of depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, antisocial personality disorder, and then how to apply them to your characters and your story. So, again, steph@theshireonline.com if you want to be a part of that. But, Dee, before we go on to Star Prairie, Jerry, and Rick, there is something very important I want to insert. I have Mary Jackson and Kate Bonestro here from the Diaper Bank of Minnesota to share about an important way we can all contribute to the well-being of the youngest members of our community. Mary and Kate, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me about the Diaper Bank.
Okay. Well, the Diaper Bank of Minnesota is a nonprofit organization started about 6 years ago. We are part of a national network, and our mission is threefold. First is to get diapers to families in need. Second is to create an awareness for people to know that there is a need for diapers. And the third one is to work, be advocates for any legislation that could change the lives of our families.
That sounds amazing. How can we help?
Well, this week coming up, we're having National Diaper Need Awareness Week. I'll let Mary talk about that.
Well, and I do think it's very important for people to understand that here in Minnesota, we have 75,000 little ones, three and under, living in poverty. And women cannot use their WIC or their food stamps to purchase diapers. So that's where we're trying to make people aware of the profound need that exists. So we're going to be having a drive from September 26th through October 2nd. And, of course, that's not a tight window. People can give after that. We have drop-off sites in Stillwater at Bee Bumble, ECFE, Gammy and Gumpy's, Natural Balance Pilates, and Carrie's Creation.
Create and Paint Studio.
Okay. So people can purchase diapers, and, of course, dollars are also very, very valuable because the Minnesota Diaper Bank is able to purchase diapers at a very, very reduced rate. So that's important, too, to give those dollars as well as diapers.
So we can give both the diapers that we buy in a store, but also, and maybe even more helpfully, money as well to help with the diaper donation.
Correct.
Right. And you can just go online to our website, www.diaperdriveminnesota.org, and you can donate online.
Wonderful.
It's an amazing opportunity for people.
Absolutely, and I hope everybody out there takes advantage of it. Ladies, thank you for being on Voices in the Valley and sharing this very important message about helping our youngest little guys and gals. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dina, I'm so glad to know about resources like the Minnesota Diaper Bank.
I am too. I had no idea.
I didn't either, and I'm really glad Mary and Kate came on the show.
Absolutely.
Well, this is not lullabies, but we are moving on to music. I'm delighted to have both Jerry Leto and Rick Vocalpool to talk about the Star Prairie Jam. Gentlemen, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we're really delighted to have you on the show. And Jerry, I should add, you are also known as Star Prairie Jerry.
I like that name.
I do too. I'm assuming that comes from your being the daddy of the Star Prairie Jam.
Yeah, it was a name that was hung on me, and I've decided to embrace it.
I love it. Well, can you tell me a little bit about the Star Prairie Jam and how it got started?
Well, I was sitting around one day with my friend Nolan Chu, who sort of helped invent the idea, and we just bounced some thoughts off what we can do on a Thursday night. And music has always been a passion of mine, and so I let one musician in the door, and then there was another, and then there was another, and somewhere along the line I lost complete control. And it was just it's been a joy. It's grown to about 300 people who are pretty active. Several bands have formed there. It's two nights, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays are acoustic, Thursdays are electric. We just enjoy ourselves. We encourage new and young players who get to stand along with some rather notable figures in music. One of our friends who has been there to do a show for us was Tony Ortiz from the Monroes.
Wow.
Who had a top 40 hit. In fact, that hit, what do all the people know, is still being played probably on every classic station in the country. And then we had another gentleman who, just to show you the diversity of the music, from the Christian genre of music, is Mitch McVicker, who is a
very cool
Dove Award winner, and he's actually coming up in November. I'll see if I can hook you up.
I love that.
And those kinds of things. Just, they're just wonderful people. I have 7-year-olds standing there with Grammy winners, and each of them actually teaching each other. That's kind of what we do there. Mentorship, showing the young folks how to be confident on stage. I can't teach them anything about music because I have no discernible talents that way.
But clearly you can organize.
Absolutely.
I'm bossy. I'm old. They let me get my way.
That's
but,
great.
You know, but I owe a lot of it to my right arm, right leg, and my chief executive officer here, Rick. And his talents, his drive, ambition, and the fact that he'll put up with me for all these years is...
Which is key.
Yeah. Dina knows that well. She puts up with me.
So, you know, but it's all them. I'm just there, and I play the role of dad. I like that because I don't have to be right. I'm still dad.
I think that's fantastic. And I'm just going to say that my experience of the jam when I went was so cool because really people just came up from the audience to begin to play. And I remember there was a lady behind me who you could tell she was really into the music by the way she moved and kind of was singing along. And then people on the stage said, "Hey, come on up here, come on up here." And she's like, no. And they're like, no, come up. She came on up and she just belted this amazing song. And I went, oh, my goodness. And I can tell you nobody will ever be asking me to come on up there. But that said, I do want to move to Rick here because you did such a nice, really wonderful description and endorsement, Rick, of you. And I was going to say, you know, the New Richmond Press has called you a legendary guitarist. But really, what could be nicer said about you than Jerry?
Well, Jerry is my ultimate spokesman, and I'm just honored to be the captain of the jam. You know, it's just been a blessing to me to have all this different talent come through the door, and I never know what I'm going to get when I show up. I know I'm going to the jam, and whoever walks through the door, we put something together, and it's always great. So you never know.
As the captain of the jam, you just coordinate it the night of the event and make sure that things
go. We don't have anything organized like a sign-up sheet or a time limit or anything like that, and that's why people jump up out of the audience and want to jam. You know, that lady you were talking about, right before that, the jam, she was telling me that she's thinking about getting back into singing.
She's thinking about it.
Yeah.
Well, I would say she should stop thinking and start singing. And actually, Dina, you are a really good singer.
Oh,
we've got to get her up there. And you are so lucky because I just got the all call that we need to be moving on. So you are so lucky because otherwise I would be putting you on the hot seat right now. So, Jess, I'm going to let Dina off the hook here, and I'm going to turn to Rick instead, because I have a fabulous clip from that night that I was at the jam. Rick, could you tell me about that clip?
All right, the tune is called Can't You See, and it's one of those songs that was originally played by the first two jam guys.
Oh, wow.
The jam was started with just two guys on the porch, and it's grown to, like Jerry said, over 300 members across the whole United States. There's people that live in Alaska that are jam members all over. So we kind of like play the song every week just because it's kind of like sentimental, and it's like almost like an original for us. So, and everybody can play it. So it's one of those songs.
Well, it's lovely, and it is also one of those songs that I think should inspire our listeners out there to head on over to Star Prairie, to this old store, to hang out, listen to some good music, hopefully participate by singing or playing their favorite instrument, and just enjoying the company of those who appreciate the art of song.
Down to the city some more. I don't care where it goes.
thanks, Jerry and Rick, for coming to Voices on the Valley. It's been wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Nice meeting you, Steph. And
thanks, guys.
We will see you more often.
And right, Dana? We will see you at the jam.
Sure.
But next up, our barn-raising moment with Mark McNamee of Handyman Matters. Then tune in as student host Emma interviews Josiah, an exceptional drummer from New Richmond Junior High and a frequent drummer at the Star Prairie Jam.
He is amazing.
He is amazing. This is Steph. You've joined us for our barn-raising moment here on Voices in the Valley. Back in the olden days, pioneers would gather to raise a barn for each other. Today, in a similar way, experts in the community share tips and resources that will build up the lives of our audience. Today, Mark McNamee from Handyman Matters joins us to talk about, tell us, Mark, because now I'm embarrassed.
Cleaning toilets and kitchen sinks that are plugged. Very messy, dirty job.
All right. Unplugging the porcelain, what do they call it? The porcelain
Buddha.
A throne.
Throne too,
thank
yeah.
you, Jesse. Yes, the porcelain throne. Okay, let's have at it.
Well, you can always use, first off, I would put some towels around the base of the toilet before you start
doing any cleaning.
Oh,
I'm grossed out already.
Because I'm sure it's not a thing you want to fall on your floor. But you can always use a standby plunger. I recommend the accordion plunger.
Okay.
But put it in slowly because it has to fill with water. And if you put it in quickly, the water's going to come out the top. So
ooh, gross.
Fill it slowly, okay. Then go in there and use the plunger. Another thing that I've seen is really kind of cool. I'm not sure I want to use it, but I've seen it work. You take a round scrub brush that you use to clean your toilet bowl.
Okay.
And you wrap it in a plastic bag.
Okay.
And you seal that with just a twisty, and then you use that as your plunger.
Really?
And it can work.
Wow. And then you can throw away the plastic bag.
I would throw everything
afterwards.
Away.
Yeah, oh, everything, even the
why
the
save anything there?
Okay, yeah. okay, I'm with you.
And then
there.
Also, you know, wash your plunger after you're done. I mean, just don't go put
oh,
it back
I
in the
Oh, plungers. They're so gross.
Wash it.
Necessary, but gross.
The other thing you have is a toilet auger. It's you know, a long, not a chain, but it's a spiral spring that you crank in it, and then you crank
oh, okay.
out, and it gets, that'll go deeper. I can do that. And if that doesn't do it, I'd call a plumber.
Okay.
Because if you can't get with those, you know, really the plunger and the auger, then you've got bigger issues that you don't want to deal with. Also, when you realize the toilet's plugged,
okay,
you know, that slight panic moment, like, oh,
oh yeah.
especially if you're at somebody else's house, oh, my gosh. You can pick up the top of the tank.
Yep.
And push the plunger down so it stops filling with water.
Okay.
That, you know, that way at least you have some, hopefully some space for the plunger or whatever tool you're going to use. I would recommend
that. All right. That is very That's, wise advice so it doesn't overflow.
And then if it's at a friend's house, just kind of leave and say, I got to get going. Talk to you
later. Yep. Wasn't me who used the bathroom last.
if it's your drain in your sink up in your kitchen, again, you can use a plunger, but you should fill your sink up at least halfway with water so there's some pressure to be
yeah.
So use your plunger there. You can also use vinegar and baking soda.
Oh, I love that combination.
So and that works. Sometimes if it's really plugged, you might have to go underneath your sink, put a towel or a pail down there, and disconnect your trap.
Yep.
And see if it drains out. If not, you can take your auger again and push it into the hole going into the wall to see if you can get farther and farther down the chain to see if there's something loose. If you can't get it, again,
call the plumber. So it sounds like a similar set of skills for both toilet and sink.
Very
all
cool.
Ending in my case with call the plumber or call Mark McNamee
yeah, exactly.
at...
The number is 715-861-4990. Again, 715-861-4990.
Well
or
done.
Or at our website. www.handymanmatters.com.
Wonderful. Thanks, Mark, for sharing your experience on Voices in the Valley. Listen in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on the Club 1220. And in the meantime, check out handymanmatters.com. This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and if you are just tuning in, you are joining us for the last half of our show, where student hosts interview our guests. Soon enough, Emma from Stillwater Area High School will be here, and 7th grade drummer out of New Richmond, Junior High Josiah, will be here as well. But first, I am really excited to have Josiah's mom here with me, because our sponsor of Josiah's interview today is This Old Store. And originally, you were going to get a really boring message from me about This Old Store and where they are in Star Prairie, Wisconsin, but it's going to be much better to hear about from Wendy, because Wendy, I know you are a big fan.
I am a big fan. This Old Store has been like a second family to me. You know, you walk in there and it's the original post office in Star Prairie, and so it actually reminds me just when I walked in this building seeing the tin ceilings, it's the same kind of thing there. And you walk in and it's an antique shop, but it's so much more than that. They have their own roasted coffee. Jerry roasts his own coffee there and they sell it. They have really yummy baked treats all over the place, and they have homemade jellies and jams, and Jerry makes their own there. And it's just, it's really different in a really good way.
I love it. I can't wait to go to it. I know every Thursday night Josiah plays there for the Star Prairie Jam. And Wendy, maybe you could end it with just telling us what the address is.
The address is 301 North Main in Star Prairie, Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing, Wendy.
You're welcome.
We're going to turn to your wonder son, Josiah.
Thanks.
Emma and Josiah have joined us here in the KLBB studios. Welcome, Emma.
Hello.
It's good to have you here. And Josiah, welcome as well.
Hi.
Emma, I'm going to turn the interview straight over to you.
Great. So, Josiah, when did you start playing the drums?
When I was about 1 to 2 years old.
So you were very young when you started playing.
Yeah.
And what attracted you to the drums?
Nothing really. When I was little, I just tapped on things.
That's awesome. And now you're involved with the Star Prairie Jam.
Yeah.
So how's that? What's that like?
It's fun. It's a great experience.
And can you tell people who don't know what the Star Prairie Jam is?
The Star Prairie Jam is a bunch of people who just come and play music together.
That sounds really super cool. So do you play in a band?
It's not really just a band. It's a bunch, like, anyone can play. They let people with all different, like, abilities and talents come and play with each other.
And do you play there every week?
Whenever I'm able to get there, which is most weeks.
Wow, that is super cool. I wish I was musical like you.
Hey, Josiah, I have a question for you. I've heard there's a story behind Wipeout. Could you tell that to us?
Yeah. So, a few months, I think it was last year, one of the members of the Star Prairie Jam, Rick, we were just playing and he mentioned Wipeout. And at the time, I had no idea what it was. So, when I got home from the jam, my mom told me to look the song up, and I looked it up and started learning it. And we challenged Rick to play it too. So, after that, both of us just started playing it.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you just kind of learned it on the spot?
It took me about a day to learn.
A day?
Yeah.
To learn Wipeout?
I mean, over a couple days, a period
wow.
of time, but...
Wow. That's amazing. You know what? Let's go ahead and listen to you playing it a couple weeks ago at the Star Prairie Jam.
Okay.
Josiah, that is so cool. I love it. Thank you for coming on Voices in the Valley, and thank you for sharing your drumming expertise with us. And Emma, thank you for interviewing Josiah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you both here. Next week on Voices in the Valley, we air Into the Attic, the second episode of the podcast series Hush. Things get worse instead of better for Andy, and this time her new friends are drawn into the mix. Special thanks to Water Street Inn, Stillwater's Healing, This Old Store, and Handyman Matters for their support of Voices in the Valley. To find out how you can become involved with the show, email steph@theshireonline.com. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning here on the Club 1220. Now go and write.